here on the podcast page. Get ready to hear from the head author of a major story at USF, and not just this year, but a gradual turnaround over the last several years, obviously, talking about track and field and their head coach, Eric Jenkins, who was hired by Michael Kelly. Coming up on 5 years ago, he did awesome things at Western Kentucky and is currently doing them at USF. You can see the gradual turnaround last year, national championships with Romaine Beckford, and now a lot of national-type acclaim. We get into that. It was a lot before last week, including, of course, the indoor AAC Men's Track and Field Championship, a feat they will be looking to duplicate in San Antonio next weekend, of course, in the Outdoor Championship. And then after that, the NCAA East prelims are in Lexington, Kentucky, and the last event, generally speaking, and you'll hear him mention Eugene, that would be Eugene, Oregon, June 5th through the 8th, the site of the NCAA Outdoor Championships, where he expects some Bulls to be partaking in the festivities. Hopefully you saw my chat with Rashid, that's Abdul Rashid Samini, who was part of not one but two relay victors at the Penn Relays last weekend. He really gets into a lot of the details on how those races went, including the fact that he got the baton on the anchor leg of the 4x100 after Houston did, but that didn't matter because he came back and won the thing. One of many incredible standouts. The cool part of that, and you'll hear me bring it up with Coach Jenkins here, is you win these incredible watches for a victory at the Penn Relays, and he got two of them. So he gave it to his teammate, one of them anyway, Goodness Aradia, who couldn't be there because he was breaking another school record in the jumping events at the other event they were at UNF. We start there and continue along for a good 10 minutes here with the head coach of track and field. Enjoy. Records number 29 and 30 in the program fall, and that wasn't even at the Penn Relay. So let me get into that first. How do you divide your attention between two different places? I mean, you must have a big staff to separate out.
Not necessarily a big staff, but a competent staff. Mm-hmm. So we sent the jumpers, some of the sprinters, and the throwers down to the East Coast Relays held at the University of North Florida. And then we took a large portion of the sprinters, hurdlers, to Penn Relays to run in obviously the most prestigious meet in track and field on U.S. soil. We had a lot going on last week, but it was a good weekend.
Now, explain to people, you know, the Penn Relays, you don't just show up and say, hey, we're here. You have to get invites, and it seems, I'm guessing anyway, that USF's getting more represented there.
We are, so you're right. It was a hard task getting into the meet again, and not just getting into the meet, but getting into the meet in which we want to compete in, which is the Championship of America. Mm-hmm. And the Championship of America, you know, really, really sets you apart because most people who compete in the Championship of America are usually teams who are competing at the NCAA Championships and within the finals. Mm-hmm. And so for us to be able to make the 4x1 finals this year, both men and women. Last year we made it with the women, but then also we won the 4x2 on both sides, which was something you want to go out and do, but the Penn Relays is just so competitive. There is no such thing as a guarantee. And even in the 4x2, you know, we have the number one ranked 200-meter group in the country, and we went down tooth and nail fighting a team in the Big 12 for that title of the 4x2 champion in the Championship of America. And then in the 4x1, same thing, you came back and you fought SEC teams that are traditional programs at the top of the NCAA level. Same thing with the Big 12 and ACC. So it was good to be representing the American Athletic Conference in a meet of that caliber against very, very good teams that we certainly hope to be competing against in Eugene in a couple weeks.
Which is the site of the NCAA Finals Championships. And none of what you just said is lost on me. The fact that here we are against these, you know, quote-unquote power schools, and you're there. You're right there. Does your team have a makeup of a team that is no longer, you know, looking at those other big schools as that and just one of us and we can compete with?
Well, we look at USF and we don't worry about anybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, we tell them our three letters when they're on the front of that jersey mean as much as anybody else's three letters, and South Florida is South Florida. And so instead of us worrying about other people, we need the people to start respecting what we do, and we'll just carry our own torch. I think it's refreshing when you do have those type of environments and you look up there, you know, 40,000 people in the stands, right. And you know, to hear them saying, "Wow, South Florida," and people have never heard of South Florida. One of the coolest things was when you walk by and someone says, "Oh, South Florida," and you see them Googling on their phone to try to figure out who we are. Hmm. So we're trying to establish a presence in the world of track and field that, you know, will go on for quite some time, and have a culture here where people know we're going to compete at Penn Relays, Florida Relays, Mount SAC Relays, because even going back a week later, you know, our men's 4x4, we went to the wire with the NCAA champion in Arizona State from a year ago, and we go up to Penn Relays again this weekend. We raced the number one team in the country in the 4x4, and we are right behind, again, the NCAA champion in Arizona State. And that was making some very unique changes at the final moments and not the best weather. So I think from a confidence standpoint, it lets our young people know that they can compete against anybody in the country. And you just got to go out and take care of business.
You mentioned making changes. You don't have to send out the same group to qualify as in the finals. How much a decision-making conversation goes on, you know, during a typical meet when it comes to lineups and relays?
Well, everybody knows it's the next person up. You know, throughout the year, we've intentionally, you know, moved and shifted some relays around and put people in odd events so that they can have the experience. Because when you get to a meet like that, or you get to the NCAA championships, and to me, that's all Mount SAC and Penn Relays are. If you can run in those two meets and have success, then it prepares you to be able to run in the NCAA championship finals. The conference becomes, again, another manageable meet because you work to that. But it's from the conference meeting beyond, and that's where we want to consistently focus, the conference meeting beyond. Penn Relays are fun. Mount SAC is fun. Florida Relays is fun. But it's all preparation for conference and nationals.
Now you mentioned you're competing against champions and number one ranked teams. Now it's been this way for a while. The men especially are getting that national ranking. What kind of sense of pride does that give you guys and expectations to continue to achieve that?
I think it's one of those things where most people just never thought we would get here. Most people never thought we would win in the AAC. And when we've been ranked as high as number 3 in the country, and the rankings have kind of had an ebb and flow to it. So if we go out and race hard, then we tend to move up the rankings. But we're also not a team that's very, very deep. So we have to be very strategic in what we're doing and to protect our athletes, so we can have them ready for conference, NCAA first round and nationals outdoors, because it is a long season. A lot of those teams that we compete against, you know, we've got 6 guys, where they've got 10 guys or more that are all, you know, kids that were very highly recruited out of high school or the best international or junior college kid coming out. And we go out and find the type of individuals that fit what we do when we coach them up and expect them to execute their training at the right time. And so, again, I think it's just another positive step in our evolution of who we are and what we're going to be here at the University of South Florida.
Well, everywhere I turn and who I speak to are newcomers, either from a junior college or NAIA or D1, and they all talk about how you guys pursued them and how they wanted to be part of this thing that's obviously now not even in the midst of turnaround, has turned around in a positive direction. How much pride does that give you as a staff, and how much work do you continue to do to look for future bowls that fit that mold?
Well, you know, we do recruit junior college. We recruit people in the transfer portal. We also recruit high school. I think it's also lost that we had the number one 400 hurdler in the country as a true freshman in Markel Jones. And he's from right up the road in Sanford. And to be able to go out and attract that type of young man and keep him here within the state of Florida and competing for us is another positive step forward. And then there's some people that we actually wanted out of high school, but just didn't turn out for one way or the other. And, you know, when it was their opportunity, they reached back out to us through the transfer portal, and we're able to accommodate them. And it's working pretty well for us right now, and we want to continue to try to hone our skills in recruiting high school kids, junior college kids, or internationals, because we need to have the right people here at South Florida. We are a program that's building. We're looking to try to establish ourselves for future generations of Bulls to come, but we're a long way from being comfortable.
A couple more things I do want to ask you, because I was able to talk to you for the TV show Rashid, and how he mentioned that, you know, he won the watch along with everybody on the relay team, and he gave that second watch, because when you have two, you can't wear them both, to goodness, because he was at the different event winning that. That's got to be quite the incredible set of roommates to handle in a good way.
Right. When you look at those two gentlemen right now, they're both, I believe, still ranked in the top 12 individually. Goodness goes out this weekend and breaks our school record in the long jump. Now, he's got quite a bit of work to do to break our triple jump record, because the great Matthew O'Neill is the real deal. And, you know, we often recruit, we try to tell people it has been kind of a hodgepodge of quality athletes. But we want to be able to recruit quality athletes and really mold them to be elite level athletes. But those two guys, both are sophomores, and when you have two guys in the same room that are ranked in the top 10 to 15 of their respective events, I think that's pretty special. And that's actually pretty cool to hear that he gave Goodness a watch. So I guess they'll be walking around campus bling-blinging or whatever. I don't know.
Well, last thing, as we get ready for the outdoor next week, the conference championship, you mentioned the depth thing. I remember last year, everyone knows what Romaine did, but I think he also went into javelin the week before. Are you trying to get people to learn new events, or is that not part of the deal?
Well, you know, we have some folks that it'll be interesting when people see them show up at the meet, because you go out and try to recruit good people who happen to be good student athletes. And so we've been working on some things, and, you know, we'll see. We won't tip our hand too quickly, but we're going to do everything we can to put ourselves in a position to be successful and win the conference title.
All right. So Goodness Rated is probably not going to be in the steeplechase, but I get your drift. Best of luck. Thanks for all the time.
Okay, no problem.
Look for a lot more great coverage coming your way on GoUSFBulls.com. I know that Joey Johnston has been doing a ton of work speaking to basically every member of those relay squads and getting some, not just what happened during the actual wins, but some background stuff that he is so good at. It's funny, I asked him to share some of the interviews with me just so I could have it for my own background knowledge. And for example, he spoke with Goodness Aradia for 20 minutes. So look for that material on GoUSFBulls.com in the coming weeks. And we'll continue, of course, to cover the endeavors of track and field here on Bulls Beat. Thanks for listening.